Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour on VFN Radio. Joining me is Pat and John. I do want to give a shout out to Sophia this morning. That was so encouraging here. If you have not yet heard It Ain't Over, you need to listen to that because I think you can see it on VFN TV. I know you can see it on VFN TV, but you can see also, I believe, on the app. You need to be encouraged because when God does his best work, when in the natural sense, it looks like it's over, because men have quite often have to have their back against the proverbial wall before they'll say, this is God. You know, we have a tendency, as God told Gideon, nope, you got too many people because you'll take credit for it and you'll write books how you did it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to narrow you down to, 300 to deliver a nation. Really? And we think about that. I mean, first of all, I mean, quite often, you know, the reluctant leader, right? Mighty man of valor.
He's sitting are you looking at my notes?
Actually, I did. And it's just like the reluctant leader. He's hiding in a wine press, just trying to survive, eking out a living. And God says, well, that's what I want to use, the weakest and the least. And
it's in the Bible.
Oh, it's in the
That's cool.
The black box was in my notes. No. He even wrote my notes in his journal.
Yeah. Oh, imagine that.
So anyway, it's really a reluctant leader. A reluctant leader. And he is trying to eke out a living. He's hiding. He's hiding from just, you know, you got to focus in some environments. You just got to focus to do the mundane things because everything is against everybody doing what they got to do. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up and says, you know, mighty man of valor. And he's looking around. He's going like, what? Are you looking for a church or something? You know, he's like, you know, right now I'm just beating some wheat here in this wine press. There wasn't even wine in it. He's like a wheat in the wine press. And because, you know, that way you're like in a pool, so nobody can see. You're hidden on every side. And so God chooses this reluctant leader like he did for, you know, so he's always done. And he's the weakest and the least. He finally gets his courage up after wet, dry, dry, wet, dry, all the different confirmations that he needed. He got close to those that he was going to deliver from, and he heard them speak. And it's so interesting. I mean, that's happened to me, you know, many times. And you hear the very ones prophesy to you what God has already told you in your spirit, and you're going like, whoa, amazing. Anyway, and so, but, so he gets ready to go, and all these thousands of people are just like, he blows the horn, he gets on, you know, radio, TV, gets on the internet, whatever he's got to do, and he just shouts out, and all these people come, and you think like, man, we're going to do this thing, man. We're going to got thousands of people. We're going to do this thing. You know, the reluctant leader is leading. And then reluctantly, God starts sending them away. You know, long story short, every one of them but 300 stayed. Because God was saying, you still got too many. You're going to have to do this whole thing when you're back against the wall, because if you don't do this whole thing when you're back against the wall, you're going to tell people, or people around you are going to say that you did it and I didn't do it. And the whole issue, the reason why you're in the predicament that you're in right now, why you're in a wine press, is because everybody's forgotten about me. It's not that I haven't been doing it, but they just don't realize I'm doing it. And they think they're the ones that have to eke this thing out. But if they would have turned back to me, I'd bless the harvest of their field and hold back the Midianites, the strife in their life. But because of that, I've got to do this thing with your back against the wall. And I had to choose a reluctant leader. I had to choose a reluctant leader whose back was against the wall from the time that he was born. And then I had to narrow you down to 300 people who would listen to the reluctant leader, because if I didn't, as you can see my story, Gideon would say, as I died and went on to be with the Lord, They worshipped my clothes. They worshipped my ephod. The tendency of human nature is not to worship God. The sin nature part of us is to worship things and stuff and ideas and concepts, men's strengths and men's wisdom versus God's awesomeness and his love. And they even began to worship his ephod that he wore. God knows us. And so when your back's against the wall and God's calling you to do something and you're struggling with reluctantly thinking, I'm not the one. You know, Moses was stuttering, but God, I can't do this. You know, and God chose the reluctant leader, Moses, to do it. Think about it.
Yeah.
That's where God does his best work. I mean, it is not over when enough people see that your nation's back's against the wall, when America sees there are backs against the wall, realize that's when God begins to part water and begins to show himself and rain down manna and pillars of fire and pillars of smoke and signs and wonders and provision and all these things begin to happen and nobody can say anything but God did this.
That's right.
It's kind of like a rebooting of the reality of our Creator and what he created. Mm. So I just want to encourage you, if you haven't yet heard, it ain't over till it's over. You need to understand that. Understand that God uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise, the things that are not to nullify the things that are. If you keep trying to be something, you can't be used by God. But if you stay nothing and stay faithful to God, then God can use you. And you're not worried about losing a reputation that you don't have.
That's right.
You're not worried about looking better than you are because you already know how better you're not. You know, you're just dependent on God and you're obeying God. You're not reluctant in the context of rebelling against God. You have no problem with somebody else. If God says, okay, somebody else, you can do this. Mm-hmm. And you would even support the person who was doing it. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that's just so wonderful. Anything you need from me, you just let me know. I'll be there right there with you. And so I just want to encourage you. If you haven't yet gone to VFN TV, you can see it on your app too, I believe, the VFN TV app. It ain't over till God says it's over. And understand that, you know, America's not there yet. We have a few more steps to take where we quit turning to Washington, quit turning to concepts, ideas, and schemes, and start turning back to God and his word. And you'll be surprised, you know, we want to have unity, Christ-centered unity in the church, and the church is actually people, not buildings and organizations. But once we all turn back to God and his word, we're automatically unified because we're actually walking in one spirit with one Lord, one word, one way. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a complicated thing, but it's real complicated to have Christ-centered unity when, you know, half the bunch, 82% of the bunch are not even in the word. Mm. And Christ is the word. So if you're not in the word, operating by the word, believing the word, then how can somebody who is unify with you? You know, we can have breakfast and do things, but the truth is, you know, how can two walk together unless they agree?
Mm-hmm. No, that's right.
And so I just want to encourage you. That maybe that's your personal situation. Maybe you just lost your job. Maybe, you know, your boss told you got two more weeks to work. You know, maybe your child has just come and bared some news to you that just shattered your heart. Maybe, you know, you have a spouse that just says, I'm out of here. You know, maybe you just got a report from a doctor that's just put a chill up your spine and all of a sudden your entire world is, the way you see things, things have changed. You know, maybe you've lost all your retirement. You know, maybe you're thinking the kids that you always loved, now that you're coming to the age of that you can't really do for yourself, you're finding out that they didn't really care and they're just doing for themselves and not you. And they see you as a walking around investment in their future, not them investing in you. I mean, all these different things. I want to encourage you that if you turn to God, I'm telling you, God is your defender. I mean, you need to listen to the wisdom moment this week. I don't know what we titled it on the torch, but God will defend you. He will defend you. If you won't defend yourself, if you'll just trust God in the context of that, he'll even rise up in defense of the poor. He'll even defend the poor. And he will defeat those who are trying to defeat you. I just want to encourage you. The best time in the world for you to see God move is when your back is against the wall.
You know, so true what you're saying. I was actually abiding in the same scripture, and what the Lord's showing me is that we live in such a blessed land. there's so much abundance. There's so many resources everywhere you go. It's pretty hard to struggle here in America. You can go to any place and find an abundance of food. You can find medication at almost any corner, you know, drugstore. They even have drugstores in the food chains. And so it's completely blessed. And what we find in during with Gideon is that they were under major oppression. You know, Israel was blessed, but they left the blessing. They left the blesser. They were happy to get the blessing, but then they took off with God's blessing and were absolutely oppressed by the Midians.
Yeah.
They ravished the land. There was more, they were like locusts everywhere.
You know what that word Midian means? It means strife. Mm. How many people are living in marital strife, family strife? Strife in America, where you look, there's strife at the church, strife, right? It looks like the Midianites are everywhere, right?
Everywhere. And so, you know, they're crying out to God. They're crying out for a deliverer, and God sends them Gideon. And then Gideon, you know, he has all these men to go fight with, and they're going to take back the land. They're going to bring back and restore what God gave them. And he boils them down. I mean, just that group got smaller and smaller. They had 22,000 that left because they were fearful. Then he had 10,000, and then he said, listen, they're drinking water differently. I want you to separate them. And he was left with 300.
He was like using the things that they went through to help separate them out, the journey. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Some people say, well, why are these? What's happening? It's like, no, the journey will separate those.
Oh.
God will draw people close, and he'll separate people. He knows what he's doing, and he knows the number, what it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for so long in America, we've leaned on our strength. It's like, we didn't lean on God. He got him down to 1% of what he actually had to start out with, 1%. And it's like, you know, 1% with God is always so much better than 100% without him. And God wants to show us that no matter what we're going through, not to have confidence in our ability, our resources, our things, the stuff, but to have confidence in God and God alone. They had 1% to take on this army, and God did it. And so be encouraged today. We've been sharing with you that 1% with God is always far greater than 100% without him. You can only do this. You can only do this with God. You can't do it apart from him. It's time for us to get off everything that we've been leaning on, everything we've been trusting in, all the resources, and say, God, it's all about you, and we're going to trust you to bring this to pass.
That's exactly right. Well, I guess you did have it in your notes.
Oh,
I guess. Wow. Well, you know, we were talking about and soaking on faith. We've been talking about and soaking on faith. I want to be able to talk a little bit more about it today, and I kind of want to talk about the dimensions of faith. We just want to begin to get you to ponder and to soak and to increase your faith. You know, this is what we're told. Faith comes by hearing the word, and by you listening to VFN radio and hearing what we're saying, what God's word says about it, then with that, you're able to, your faith will actually increase. That's the way it works. Mm. It comes by hearing, the hearing of the word. And so when you think about it, I mean, if you haven't yet, you need to probably just kind of soak on Hebrews chapter 11 as a whole and watch those who walked in faith for many years, and it's recorded about them. But I mean, there are kind of like three dimensions we can talk about. There's the first dimension, because when you think about faith, most people start thinking about, they jump this first one I'm about to talk about, and they go, you know, faith for things and stuff, you know?
Right.
They are believing God for something, right?
Mm.
And you remember the rich young ruler who had many things. He wasn't willing to let go of them, and you can really mess this up by being thing focused instead of God focused. And so, but the first dimension of faith that I want to talk about is the faith to be saved. The faith to be saved. There's a faith we exercise that God has given each of us a measure of it. And by faith, we accept that Jesus's birth, the Son of God's birth from a virgin named Mary, his sinless life, his death on the cross, dying in our place for our sins, his burial, his resurrection from the dead, and now his ascension to heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. This is faith.
Right.
It takes faith to be saved, but God's given us a measure of faith. And so we're talking about different dimensions. So we know, what does that have to do with you getting a car or getting money or a job or something? Listen, you can have this faith, the faith that saves. And in that, when we have that faith and we're saved, it produces in us a byproduct called fruit. Because we're saved, because we believe God, because we abide with the Lord, things begin to come out of our life, you know, behaviors and fruit and love and kindness and all those wonderful things. But another dimension would be there's a faith for something such as faith for healing, deliverance. You know, this is something happening to you. Deliverance, financial blessing, jobs, homes, cars, business, ministry, relationships, children, you just name it. It's by faith you receive these things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand, you can't ignore the first dimension. Mm-hmm. And that you're and so many are focused on this particular dimension here. And it's like, well, do you even know God? You attend God, but you don't go to God. And so in the context of it, this is another dimension. The first dimension is pretty important because you still can be healed and bust hell wide open.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can go to hell with water baptism, water on your face, right?
That's right.
And so in the context of this, that this other dimension, it's just another dimension of who we are. And we have faith to be able to receive these things in our life. Or we can call it the faith to receive. You know, faith to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, faith to receive a financial blessing, faith to receive that. But there's a faith to do something, and man, this one is so neglected. I mean, the first two are, you can see them happening,
mm-hmm.
but this dimension is so, so very important. This is what Hebrews 11 really talks about, is the faith to do something, because faith without doing something is dead.
All right.
But faith to do something, not just to go love somebody. Faith, by faith, you work your job.
Yellow.
By faith, you work your job as unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you do what your boss asks of you, and you work hard, and you know God will promote you there or will promote you outside of there and allow you to continue to work there. But that's by faith you do that.
Mm-hmm.
By faith, you do your ministry. I don't know, I'm going to the hospital to visit somebody again, or I'm going to have to go teach on this particular topic. Or I'm going to have this dinner, this, that. And it's like, that's by faith. If you whine and complain, you're not moving in faith. I mean, doing it as unto the Lord. By faith, maybe you serve as in a governmental office. I mean, like David, by faith, he led Israel. He fought wars. By faith, you may have to fight a war.
Yeah.
By faith, you survive. When you think about when David was dodging Saul, King David was dodging King Saul. I mean, by faith, he had to continue to do this, mm-hmm. and trusting that God would protect him, and he didn't lay his hands on God's anointing. That proved that he was moving in faith in God.
While he was dodging spears.
Dodging spears. Yeah. By faith, we stand against evil people. I mean, by faith, when we understand that if you tangibly, physically, and verbally assault someone, you are not standing by faith because you're trusting in your own self. But if you're standing by faith, people are assaulting you, you know, hitting you in one cheek, you turn to the other one. They're asking you to go 1 mile, you go 2 miles, you know, and evil's coming. You're standing against evil and saying you're praying against it and believing and turning to God. That's faith. This mm-hmm. is faith to do something. This is the activation. This is part of your faith. Faith to continue. Think about it. The faith to continue when others don't. You know, faith to not shrink back. Faith to stay steadfast, faith to deal with the sin in our lives. You know, faith to deal with sin is that if you don't have faith to deal with your sin, then you don't have faith. Faith is like, I got to get the sin out of my life, dear God. And you begin to pray and God delivers you because of your faith that the cross and the power of the cross is happening there. Faith to worship. I meant putting on the sacrifice of praise. I mean, somebody says, well, you know, I just don't like worshiping. It's like, you don't have faith to worship. Because you don't understand the dimensions of everything. But if your faith is in God and He is the one providing you, and He is, then why would you not want to worship God who's doing all this for you?
Mm-hmm.
And faith to give God His tithe. That's a faithful thing. When you say, God, here's your tithe. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. I'm going to honor you with this first 10% of my increase because I have faith that what you said is true, and that's where it came from, and that you're going to take care of me, and you're going to pour me out a blessing that I won't only be able to contain it, and you'll rebuke the devourer on my behalf. And not only that, but faith to give offerings on top of that, and faith to care for the poor. See, it's the faith to do. The first dimension was the faith to see. The second one was the faith to receive. The first one was the faith to be saved. The second one was the faith to receive. And the third is the faith to do. Be a doer of the word. Someone who actually looks into the word and doesn't do what it says is merely deceived.
Mm-hmm.
But a person who does what it says is blessed in all that he does. We're going to continue this in just after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's easy to get discouraged in the midst of disappointing circumstances. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. David Ring offers this perspective.
I have cerebral palsy. Watch your problems. Why are you crying the balloons? Why are you down in the dump? Why are you down in the mouth? Why do you want to quit? Look at me. What's your problem? Don't whine, but shine.
A great reminder there about coping well with life's problems. Hear more from David Ring today on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Man, I know that you listen to VFN Radio.
Every day, like clockwork. If I do miss the morning, guy, I love to see, I hear you guys bright and crisp in the morning. Man, it's a fresh revelation, man, to hear you guys and to hear what, you know, the news behind the news. I love Brother Greg, man. You know, he's hilarious. You come in right there with him. I feel in my spirit that it's everybody should have an opportunity to really listen, even if it's just once, man. And
well, that's great. Let me ask you, what would you say, you know, what would you say to other people about VFN Radio? I mean, I know you listen to it all the time, but as far as, I mean, what's kind of the main thing that you get out of it?
Believe it or not, I get more knowledge and wisdom through listening to the VFN Radio. I can't explain it. It's something that I just don't see that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get to hear the stuff that's happening behind all the political hoopla, because to me that's what it is, you know, it starts to wake you up. Your spirit wakens up even more. These prophetic words coming to light, you know.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing. And that's what I love about what God is doing on the face of the earth and what he's doing through VFN Radio and the opportunities that we get to share. But I'm encouraged that you're listening, that you're getting plugged in, and that you're plugging in others.
Yeah.
You know, because we, you know, who knows how long we have left? I mean, to use this medium for the glory of God and to connect people to the Lord, and get a fresh word. We always say that.
You're right. You know, I said that today to somebody. I said, you know, we gotta live for God like He's coming tomorrow.
That's right.
Because if we're unprepared, then we're the ones that are going to be left behind. And there's no excuse. If you're serving him, then serve him all the way. Dive in head first. And just continue the journey, because it's an awesome journey. I mean, I look back and reflect on my life and what I've been through and how he saved me from death at 33 and how he's brought me all the way to where I'm at now. I'm like...
That's a beautiful journey,
You know, there's just no way that I could have been... I could have done this on my own.
Well, one day we're definitely going to get your testimony for VFN Radio.
Oh, I would love to.
But thanks for coming on in, man. God bless you.
God bless you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about faith, continuing to soak on faith, and we're talking about three different dimensions of it that we happen to be talking about today. You know, faith to be saved, faith to receive, and faith to do. It's so very, very important, because if there is no doing, then that proves there is no living faith.
Mm.
Living faith. And I think about this, too, that in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, in the latter part right there, Paul just comes out and just says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. So it's not like, that's where things can throw people off, when they're only thinking about faith to receive. They're missing out all the dimensions of faith. Because how can you be saved unless you have faith that God exists?
That's right.
And that Jesus, you know, paid the price for us, as we talked about earlier on.
And that he's a reward of those who seek him.
Yeah. Yeah, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, he says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. And that's very important, because we're talking about the doing aspect of faith. You know, faith to do. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord you are serving. See, what happens is, when you get your perspective, like Ephesians 6 talks about, you know, work for your boss, your actually slaves work for your master as unto the Lord, and realize that not just for his eyes, but for the eyes of the Lord, you're getting things right. And then you have faith to do whatever it is you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Daniel had faith to be able to work under a not so good king, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure did.
But he's rewarded. We still talk about him today. And so we're talking about faith to do. And this is the dimension I kind of want to hang on a little bit, because most importantly, there's a faith that because you believe, you do. And that's so important. It's like, I know it seems pretty basic, but come on. I mean, do you see a door anywhere? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Where's the doors? We should be knocking this thing out of the ballpark right now with this many people who claim to be followers and faithful to Jesus. And I start thinking about, you know, why not go back and look at the father of faith?
Mm.
Why not go back to look at Abraham, because he was the father of faith. He's the first one that had faith to believe God and got what God said, and therefore he went. And you think about it, here he was, God says, you're going to be the father of many nations. In other words, break it down, you're going to have some children, those children are going to have children, and it's going to spread through all over the place. And I'm going to bless you. But the difficult thing was, he didn't have no children.
Hmm.
He didn't have no kids.
Mm-hmm.
His back was against the wall that we were talking about earlier. And, but yet, he had to begin to believe God despite his reality. So against all hope, Abraham, the father of faith, in hope believed, which means he kept his faith in what God said. This is so important, because what happens is, if you have your faith in you and stuff and things and everything, then it gets shaken. But it doesn't matter about those things. You can still maintain your faith in God, that he's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. When he speaks, all of his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And so he became... Think about this. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, he kept the faith in God and what God said, and became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said of him, so shall your offspring or his children be. Without weakening in his confidence, his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Now listen, you got these folks out here that it's like, they're going like, you know, the sun's not up. And it's like, give me some sunglasses, dude. The sun's up.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, the sun is up. Your faith is in your ability to try to manipulate the environment. But my faith's in God. Even though he says the sun's up, that if he says it's going to be dark, I know it's going to be dark.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big difference. One's person's faith is in what they're saying, in their ability to just convince themselves the secret method of what these worldly viewpoints of speaking things into existence, versus God said it, therefore it's going to happen. So a person who denies their reality and calls it faith is really not having faith in God, but in their ability to deny their reality. That's so important, because, you know, if you're having faith in God for something, but I'm with you and I'm living in this reality, it's going to help us to talk about my reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I can have faith in God and deal with my reality. You're not being unfaithful if your reality contradicts what God says. Understand this, That's why God says he's going to do that in your life or do that in that situation. That's why you need faith. Mm-hmm. But a person who looks clearly at their reality and faces the facts, even if the facts say in the natural that this is impossible, it can't be done by yourself, yet still believes that God can do exactly what he promised you, that is a person who has faith in God. Mm-hmm. And this will free you up because you're not God. God's not going, you know, I was going to give it to you. You know, that thing was going to happen. You know, I was going to help you rule that governmental position. I was going to let you have that business. But, you know, you said the I can't word or something. Mm-hmm. Abraham had sex with his maid and had a child named Hagar, and he still was the father of faith. And that was Hagar. Remember?
That's right.
He had birthed Ishmael because he thought, well, we can't do it ourselves. We need to figure some other way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't lose being the father of faith. He went through that journey and he's trying to work his way through his realities. And Abraham, listen, it goes on to say, Abraham was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was dead.
Hmm.
I mean, it wasn't like, she wasn't like having some endometriosis. She wasn't going through some difficulties. She wasn't, you know, all the different things that could happen to a lady. It was dead. And if you're 100 and you're a man,
you're dead.
Yep.
So, the reality can be just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, you're going to be the father of many nations. I mean, in the natural sense, it was such a ridiculous assumption, they would think, that when God shows up and tells them, okay, it's time. Sarah's in the kitchen, overhears it, out the kitchen window of the tent.
Right.
We're just talking about it. It starts laughing. My womb is dead. And that man ain't looked at me like that in at least 50 years.
At least.
We just look at trees and birds and stuff.
Yeah.
We're people watchers. And yet, his reality was that. And that was Sarah's response. But let me tell you what Abraham's response was. Despite all of his realities. And this is going to understand, that's why you got to be careful about what you're saying about the church and what you're saying about yourself and your family and your business and your jobs and your country and your nation. Understand there's always a prerequisite of knowing that, but God.
Hmm.
What has God said over this? So, but that was Sarah laughs, but this is what Abraham does. It says on, it says, yet all of his realities is this, you know, her womb is dead, I'm 100, etc. Yet he didn't waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Now, you can waver a lot of different ways. I mean, we have our weaknesses, things happen, yada, yada, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, he's like, but God's not in that category. He's not in my category.
Mm-hmm.
He's God. He doesn't lie. And he knew what I was when he chose me, and he promised me, gave me this promise, and he uses those are the weakest and the least, you know.
So you qualify.
And so in the context of that,
yeah.
I might lose my faith in myself.
Mm-hmm.
I might lose my faith in my government.
Mm-hmm.
I might lose my faith in my family or something that's going on. At the same time, I could say, but I maintain my faith in God.
Right.
That's so important because mm-hmm. so quite often people think, you know, because you're going through, you're looking horizontally at things and beginning to discuss those things, people are saying, well, I guess that she or he just lost their faith. It's, oh, no, no. They're just facing their realities. They're going like, dead womb, dead womb, dead womb, dead womb. Dead man, dead man, dead man, dead man, dead man, dead man. So when our faith is in God, in his word, in his faithfulness, and not in our realities, not in ourselves, not in our inabilities, not in our weakness, we can have unwavering faith because it's not in us, but it's in God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you need to go and stay in the Word continually, because you need to go to a place that doesn't change. You need to go and be reminded of an unchanging God, of a faithful God, of His Word, what He says about you. I mean, you're the head and not the tail, that you're blessed and not cursed. And even though the locust had destroyed something, my plans for you is to restore what the locust had devoured. Give and it'll be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Ask whatever you wish and not doubt, and believe in your heart and it'll be given to you. You're a son of God, an heir, a joint heir with my son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you are right standing with me. I mean, what does God say about you? He was actually, he says, he was strengthened in his faith and he gave glory to God. I mean, in all these, I mean, sometimes it's easier. It's like somebody says, I'm just fearful. I'm going to lose my job. But sometimes it's better just to lose it because, you know, you're busying yourself with too much stuff. But once you lost it, you're not even worried about losing it anymore because you lost it.
Because it's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
But if you could learn to live in the reality of it's gone outside of God, you don't have to lose things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you could learn that though I have a womb that works outside of God touching my womb, I'm not going to have a child. You know, though my body works that outside of God, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So why should I have to lose something for me to be able to believe God? And you think about it, it's just so very, very important to understand and the doing aspect of faith, having faith in God. And his faith actually increased. So it's amazing. You didn't know what you were going to do for a job, but now you lost one. You're beginning to look and you're beginning to build your faith for, hey, I can have a job.
That's right.
I can have a job now. Well, you could have done that originally and said, you know, I'm working here, but I could work anywhere because the blessing is on me.
That's right.
It's not on this job or this business or this company.
Mm-hmm.
And so his faith was strengthened. And when you look to this realities, your reality should strengthen your faith in God. And it should lessen your faith in yourself and your economy, your governments, your happenings here on earth. When our faith is in God and his word and not ourselves, it's not hard to know who gets the glory.
Mm-hmm.
He was strengthened in his faith and he gave glory to God. When we struggle with who gets the glory, you know, we're not walking in good faith before God. It's not hard to praise and give glory to our Lord when we know he's the one that if I'm going to have a child, you know what I'm saying, for example, or he promises, he's the one that's going to bring it to pass.
Mm-hmm.
To say, you know, I'm going to praise the one that has brought this to pass, who is bringing this to pass, and who will bring the future to pass like he said he's going to do. Somebody says, are you trying to manipulate God? No, I'm just thanking God for what he's going to do because he told me he's going to do it. Or thanking God for what he did.
That's right.
It's not hard to do that. I mean, how many times do you see Israel had to praise God in the battle? But when they praised God in the battle, then all of a sudden God began to deliver them. Because their faith was in God, not in their praise. They just said, listen, it's either God or die. And they said, let's just give God praise and glory now because he's the one who's going to deliver us. For a man or a woman of faith whose faith is in God, is not in God, and is in a person, they can't be clear about who gets the glory. They're trying to struggle with it. I know that God did this, but I know I did that. And then so-and-so did this. And that person is like, I mean, they're putting the credit all over the place. But when you know it's God, when you're walking in faith in God, you know, God uses people. I mean, for example, he uses your mailbox to be able to deliver mail to you. But that mailbox did not produce the mail. It did.
Or the check, right?
It
was the mailman that brought the check, right?
That's right. Or mail woman. You need to understand.
Oh, there you go.
Mail person.
And he goes on to say, not only did he give glory to God, he was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded that God had the power, had the power to do. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about doing. Because he had to get thee up and go to a place that God was going to show him that he had not yet known, with a woman whose womb was going to die and his body didn't work, to have people, have children that he couldn't even have anymore, to be able to possess a land that he didn't even have as he wandered around. I mean, this is a man that didn't even look back because he would have went back. But yet he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Listen, if you don't know the promises of God, how in the world are you going to know what he promised? And how can you be fully persuaded in it?
That's right.
If only 82%, according to George Bonner, even reading the promises of God, I mean, think about it. You're not going to know. You're just not going to know. But you can get into the promises of God. You can read the word of God and find out what God says about you. And your faith can be not only just a one who reads the word and hears the word, but somebody who actually does the word. I got more right back after this message.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner, and every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America. But it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich. So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're continuing talking about, you know, soaking in faith. We've been soaking in faith, and I was talking about this third kind of third dimension, if you would, about being a doer you know, faith to do, as we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're talking about Abraham, the father of faith. And you think about it, even when he faced the facts, as I was saying, looking at all the inabilities and all the things that were going on, it didn't weaken his faith. How many times do people hear about a reality, or you look at the news, or you look at your paycheck, or you look at your economy, whatever, and in that your faith gets weakened, and it's like, okay, that means our faith was in that
misplaced faith.
And so we're finding out right here that if we have the faith that does, like Abraham, the father of faith, it does. We can look at all of our circumstances and we can say, you know what, I just give God glory, because I have more confidence that God's able to do and has the power to do exactly what he said he's going to do. And it says he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And the thing is don't lose your confidence in God that he's going to be able to do. This is your one moment in all of eternity to believe God, because once you pass from this life, you're going to be in the presence of God. And so at that point, proving yourself. It's over with at that point. And this is your chance to say, you know what? I'm going to have total confidence in the power of God to fulfill what he had promised. And God is God is all powerful. He created everything that we see, the universe, the seas, the animals, everything you can imagine, and even formed and created man. He breathed life in us. But I think about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, when he says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. God just said, boom, let it be. We have people that have been studying God's creation over and over and over and over again. Think about doctors and psychologists and
scientists
and those who study the universe and all those things that are going on. They're just studying what God spoke into existence. And it's important. And he goes on and says, so that we actually understand then what is seen was actually not made from what is visible. Because God spoke it, and then it became. He spoke it, and then it became. What does it mean? Then Abraham can look at all of them. If God spoke his body into existence, and God spoke his wife's womb into existence, and God spoke the air into existence, and God spoke the universe that surrounded. I mean, think about this. Some of the light that God created at that time, suns in the universe, stars in the universe, if you would, that when God said, created back in the beginning of times, and he put the stars in place, that light at that time began to come towards this earth. And that earth, there's light today that was formed way back then, the beginning of time. And it is so far away, by the time it took all this time to get here, the same light that was shining at the time of Abraham, in that time that was coming off of one of those stars, is still coming towards the earth today. I mean, think about it. His creation is just speaking, and this is a God. How can you not have faith if God said, the God who did all of this, how can you not have faith? Look at your circumstances. So what? So what? Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
So what? But God. And understanding is so important, because when you read Hebrews 11, we call it the faith chapter, the first thing he talks about what faith is. The second thing is you got to understand he created everything that you see. He created the universe. And this is why it was accredited to him, he says, because of this kind of confidence that he had in God's word, not in himself or circumstances. He goes on to say this in Romans that we're reading from. This is why it was accredited to him as righteousness, which means right standing with God. The words "it was accredited to him" were written not for him alone, but for us also, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe what? Believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead. See, he was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. If you're not familiar with justification is this. You're justified. Your sins are dealt with because he died. And if you, by faith, you received his sacrifice and made him the Lord of your life. And now you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which means you're in right standing with God. And you're justified. You're justified. That's a huge thing. You're justified. And you can say, you know what? What does God say? Like, God made a promise to Abraham. And he's going, listen, just like it wasn't written just for him. It was written for us as well. And the fact is saying that we can have faith in the fact, what, three specific things that, listen, that I'm forgiven, I'm in right standing with God, and I'm justified, and therefore I believe everything that God has said about me, and I'm going to the end, despite all my physical circumstances, all my natural circumstances, all my economic circumstances, all the wounds in my life that normally produce, all these different things, I say, you know what? God said it. I believe it. I'm fully persuaded, and I don't care if it takes till I'm 100 years old. You know, God's going to do what he said he's going to do, and that's it. Three dimensions of faith. Three dimensions of faith. And the thing about it, too, the longer you walk with God, you have so many things to relate to because he's done so much in your life.
That's right.
You know, don't forget, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord as he remembered the wonders of the Lord. Those are the miracles and the deliverances and the hand of God in his life. So don't just, you know, write down what God does. Put up a shelf of remembrance that you can glance at and go, oh, that's right. He delivered me from that. And he did this and he did that and he did this. Just one glance of a shelf in your office, your home, or wherever, that just a little something, something that reminds you of that one thing reminds you of everything that happened around that. And the context of that, because you remember that and your faith is like, yes, that's right. My faith in God, because I don't want to be. And this is, I want to close with this and say, and this is so important. Because you can be merely deceived.
Hmm.
And deception is what you think you're doing is right, which means you could be saying, I'm right, everything's fine, I'm saved, I'm in right standing with God. And you're not. You're not. And you don't want to be deceived. You want to be able to walk, want to be in right standing with God. And it'll be done by faith. The promise comes by faith. You think about it. It comes by faith. And this is what he says in the word of God in James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself.
Mm.
Well, I go to church. Now watch so-and-so on VFN TV or TV or don't. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Be an Abraham.
That's right.
Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at his face for himself in the mirror for a while, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. He compares it to that. He said, but the man who looks intently abides, who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
A doer, right?
Yep.
Continues to do this, not forgetting what? What he has heard, the promises. But doing it, he will be blessed in all he does. Why was Abraham blessed? Because God spoke something over him? No, because Abraham believed what God spoke over him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He believed it. And he lived his life on that. Isn't that powerful?
Powerful. Yeah.
So, so very, very powerful.
Well, you know, it's the time for the top three. We like to share this often with you because these are the segments and the articles that people are listening to and they're sharing with their friends. But the first one I want to share with you is the power of vision. This is an exciting segment because really we discuss basically what Proverbs 29:18 says, that without vision, the people perish. And you're seeing a whole generation right now, sad to say, that are perishing because they don't have any vision to even get outside their own parents' home.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have a vision to get outside the house. It's like you got to have a vision.
And parents can help.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
There's the door.
Here's door. Your luggage.
Here's Samsonite. I'm painting a picture here for you. See, there's a vision. There's life outside of these four walls. But we talk about also as well how vision helps us to restrain us, to keep us focused on the very thing that God's called us to do. You really want to listen to this segment and encourage yourself because if you don't have vision, you're not going anywhere. And it's sad to find out later in life that, my goodness, I was just staying in a place that didn't produce anything in my life because I didn't even have vision to believe, to do, to act, to see anything.
Right.
The second one I want to share it. Is it's okay to be loyal to your country And in that, we share about what was happening in France as well as Egypt. This was some time back, and it's dated, but it's interesting that even at that time, there was a bunch of young people in Egypt that were willing to stand in the face of Muslim Brotherhood and what was happening. And just recently, we saw the fruition of that, mm-hmm. where, you know, the president there, Morsi, was brought down and removed, and they have a new president now. But we also talk about in that as well about the allegiance that it's okay for Americans to have to the United States. We have a pledge of allegiance that we share mm-hmm. and speak out, and that it's okay. It's absolutely okay for that. Because if you're coming to this country and you don't want to have any allegiance to this country, what does that mean?
All right.
When you become a citizen, you want to become a citizen of this country, you are renouncing, if you All right. will, the citizenship of another place. The second one we want to share with you is obedience to God's love language.
Mm-hmm.
And in this segment, we really talk about how there's many ways to share and express love, but the way that God knows and you can express your love to God is the fact in our obedience and what we share, you know, how we live our lives, what we do, how to respond to his word, his commandments, his ways. The greatest way that we can show God is not by giving him lip service or by, you know, saying that we're going to do this or do that. It's the fact that we actually take his word, we hide it in our heart, and we say, God, I want to live a life that honors you, a life that glorifies you, a life that says that you're just not my savior, but that you're my Lord. And I think about Isaiah in scripture says that many are the
plans in a man's heart,
but it's the Lord that directs his steps. Actually, mm-hmm. it's not in Isaiah. I was actually thinking about the scripture.
Proverbs. That,
well, that's Proverbs, but the scripture that I'm thinking about, is that they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Mm-hmm. You know, and God's not into lip service. Mm-mm, he's into obedience. Mm-hmm. And when we obey God, we see all the blessings that come with that. And we also see that, you know, when we disobey God, there's severe consequences. We talked about what happened during Gideon's time. The whole reason that they were impoverished and they were in the place that they were in was because they absolutely disobeyed God.
Awesome. Awesome. I want to close with this scripture. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardships, even to the flames, but do not have love, I gain nothing. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.